Hello and welcome to another movie roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. I'm here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find all of our podcasts at comicroast.com, all of our written reviews at reviewandroast.com, and everything else at facebook.com/reviewandroast. Or, let's see, we got instagram.com/reviewandroast, instagram.com/StarWarsTabletop for all you Star Wars tabletop gaming nerds. Nerds! Mm-hmm. And there's some more. You'll find us, whatever, you know. You know the deals. Today, we're going to talk to you about the new... This is a Netflix original, correct?
Yep.
Okay, Netflix original. The Cloverfield Paradox. I believe that both of us were, you know, curious as if this is like a... A prequel, maybe, for the Cloverfield movies?
Yeah.
Without looking into it, because I actually never did, I'm going to go ahead and say it is.
Sort of, but I feel like this is set in a more futuristic setting than the original Cloverfield movie, which, I'm going to be honest, watched one time whenever that happened and didn't really care for it all that much. Anyways, I never saw 10 Cloverfield Lane. Don't even know what it's about, except for that John Goodman's in it, right?
Yeah.
So, meant to watch it, didn't, saw this, and did, so that's where I'm at.
That's kind of where I'm at, except I actually liked the original Cloverfield movie.
Not saying that it was, to be honest, couldn't even, monster, you can't see him, stuff and things, people are running.
Yeah, that.
But that was set in, like, present day, right?
Well, yeah.
Of the time.
Yeah, of the time. What drives me nuts the most about movies like that is, like, dude, the only reason people are seeing this shit is because they want to see the monster. You can't keep hiding them shits. And then at the end, have them be like, rawr. Like, no. That's
rawr.
No.
Like popping out of the cake.
People watch that shit to see the monster, and you can't just show it once. Anywho. So let's get rolling. Orbiting a planet on the brink of war, scientists test a device to solve an energy crisis and end up face-to-face with a dark alternate reality. I like how they said orbiting a planet. Like, it's Earth.
Yes.
They've said it's Earth, and it clearly looks like Earth.
Mm-hmm. It's Earth.
Yes. So that planet that they're orbiting, it's Earth. I was actually surprised because I saw the movie pop up on my Netflix feed two or three times before I watched it, but I didn't realize like all the actors in here. That I was like, holy shit! Like, you know, it's just
I don't want to downplay any of the actors because a couple of actors I really 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 enjoy, but this is I would call this a top of the line B-list actor crew.
Wow. I mean, I know what you mean, but
it sounds
wow.
like a dick moves, but but honestly, none of them have ever had their own full-on movie that I know of, and if I don't know of it, it wasn't that good. So
wow. I mean,
well, the point being is that there are a lot of great actors that have been in lots of great things. They've just never carried a movie solely before.
Right.
Actually, Zhang has, but those also weren't extremely popular American movies
Zhang?
Either. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about character names.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, Zhang
Zi.
Yeah.
Or Zi Zhang.
Yeah. I mean, right off the bat, I'm totally going to butcher this.
Which one?
Gugu Mbatha.
Oh, yep.
I knew I recognized her, and I couldn't picture from where, but she was in that show Easy I keep telling you to watch, that other Netflix show.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
She was only one or two episodes, but that's where she's from. But, like, right off the bat, like, I recognized... John Ortiz.
Yep.
Again, not sure where. I'm sure if I pulled up the list, I'd...
Plenty of things.
Oh, I'm sure. But there's like one image of him in my mind that's like sticks. But basically, like the first one I was like surprised and excited about was Chris O'Dowd.
Yep.
Who played Mundy. He is the I guess lack of a better word, the nerdy white guy from the IT crowd. I don't know if anyone watched that, but it was an old BBC sitcom that I used to giggle about because, you know, being in the IT field, it's just funny because every time the phone rings, the classic line of the show is, did you power it off and power it back on again, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was always kind of funny. Okay, there you go. So he's from going back to John Ortiz, Silver Linings Playbook, which I don't remember him in. Yep, American Gangster.
This is 40.
I never saw it.
Pretty good movie, actually.
I don't think so.
It was. He was the pseudo boyfriend in Thor, if you recall. He was the one that Natalie Portman went on a date with, and then she got a phone call from like Thor or something like that, if you recall.
Nope.
Yeah, they were like, that was the guy she was like went on a date with. Anywho. So he's been in some stuff.
Been in a lot of stuff.
His filmography is extensive. And he's a fun guy to watch. I dig it. And then I swear, the guy that plays the
Carlito's Way.
That's Russian.
Where I was recognized him from.
Who?
John Ortiz.
Oh yeah. Sorry, he's from '93,
but I'm like, why do I know this guy? He was the kid. Holy shit. I always wonder what happened to that dude. I always liked that. All right. Anyway, sorry.
Man, I thought the guy that played the Russian scientist I recognized. Oh,
yeah. He was from the Winter Soldier.
He's in The Martian. No. You're not. That was the German scientist, was Zemo.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the Russian scientist. He was in The Martian.
Which one? Oh, Volkov?
Yeah. Yeah, he was in The Martian. I thought I recognized him from something, too.
Axel Henny? I don't recognize him at all.
Yeah, no, he was he definitely was. Again, we could probably do this for the next 20 minutes, so we could probably just cut it now. But obviously, there's a lot of actors, been in a lot of things. You probably don't know them by name, but you would recognize them by face, as we've just described for about 5 minutes. So all pretty good actors, pretty solid actors. So.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's nice to see them all in, you know, getting chance to, I guess, command the screen a little bit,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more. So basically, yeah, they're a bunch of scientists trying to solve an energy crisis by testing this thing in space, and they're testing it in space because, I mean, they're not 100% sure what's going to happen, so it's kind of like the safest spot.
Right, it's the largest particle accelerator ever built to date, and the only safe place is not on Earth.
Right, which...
That's what they say.
So after 40-some failed tests, they finally had they have about two or three more tests left before the thing just won't run and they have to return to Earth anyway.
And bear in mind, the whole reason they're doing this is because the Earth is in the midst of a mass energy and resource crisis on apocalyptic levels, and all the nations are on the verge of total annihilation. Like, it's shit's hitting the fan. We need sustainable energy for the Earth, yeah. And that's that. So
did you just say Earth?
Earth. So, welcome to Earth. So these guys need energy. Like, this has to work. So and tensions are high everywhere. Even on the ship, they have like we said, there's a Russian scientist, a German scientist, the Americans, Chinese scientist, all tight. Everybody's trying to do stuff, and. That's what leads us to where we're at with all these attempts, and they're trying to fiddle with this, that, and the other thing. So, back to you. Over to you.
Really? I'm just clearly typing something in to look something up?
Oh. Well, and then so, long and the short is, they've been up there much longer. They thought they'd be up there for a short amount of time. They'd be right back. So they kind of fast forward the first 5 minutes of the movie, showing them, you know, we get the montage of computer and science stuff. So they're like clicking buttons and shit, and people are looking at the screen with a pencil and paper and like pushing their glasses up their nose, like doing all the stuff. Finally, they get to this point where they're about to test it again. So this is the one we're going to watch them do again. And coincidentally, I don't know if it was Hamilton or somebody was watching the news from Earth, and there was that guy, the rabble rouser. We're messing with stuff we don't understand, you know, and
another specifically, great actor.
Yeah, oh yeah. Specifically brings up the fact that, you know, you can rip a hole in space-time with this type of shit. We can open up alternate dimensions. We can bring monsters from hell or whatever. I mean, it was going off. So.
Yeah, I almost feel like they tried to make him be the dumbed down Alex Jones.
Yeah. You know? Well.
Or the less screamy.
The only thing I didn't like about the way they did that, they should have started the movie off, in my opinion, with some type of like 2020 debate with people talking about should this mission be taking place? Not after we're already up there doing some stuff and then they just show some fanatic some fanatics just talking shit. You know, I would have liked to have seen like a sort of a debate, almost very. I mean, this was still early in the movie, but almost to open the movie. You know what I mean? It would have gave you clarity of why we're doing what and how we're trying to accomplish it, because you sort of just get piecemealed. You know, we're waiting in a long line for gas. These guys are hungry, this, that, and the other.
Lights keep going out.
So, yeah, so we're having blackouts and stuff like that. So that's one of my first gripes that I kind of noticed was when that guy came on the screen, I'm like, ugh, foreshadow much? Like, well, obviously now we're ripping a hole in space-time, first of all. We're going to create an alternate dimension of some sort, and we're probably going to fucking see a monster. So, spoiler alert, all those things are going to happen.
What?
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the meat and potatoes here. I don't want to ruin like a lot of stuff here about the movie, but there's obviously going to be a few things that we're going to spoil.
I mean, it's standard sci-fi, so I mean, you can guess it.
Here is basically what happens. Okay, so they the German scientist was like, "Oh my god, it's the condensation. That's the problem. We need to drain it while we're doing the test, and then all of our calculations will be correct, and this should work."
And he and Tam, yeah, they're working together closely, and she's the Zhang plays the Chinese. Basically, she's the particle accelerator expert. I don't really know what the other guy's the expert in. Zemo. I'm gonna keep calling him Zemo until I double check his name again. Schmidt. That's right. So,
why are you calling him Zemo?
From Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay.
Dumb Dumb.
You're Dumb Dumb.
Or no, not Winter Soldier. From Civil War. Wasn't he Civil War? Yep. Whatever. Point being, he's Zemo in the other movie.
Yeah, I know.
Period. Secondly, so they've been working together closely, and right before this whole scenario took place, the Russian actually accused the German of not sabotaging, but purposefully not allowing the accelerator to work for some reason or another. So, and basically that had to do with down on planet Earth political things. So right. They were sort of, you know, tensions are heating down there, and that's traveling up to the space station. So I just wanted to elaborate on that just to kind of show that, like, everyone's frustrated trying to get this thing going. And then it turns out, like, yeah, we didn't drain the pipe. You know what I'm saying?
40 times.
Yeah. Hey, this thing keeps filling up with fucking water. I don't know what the problem is.
All right, yeah. So, so they go to run the test this time, and you know, Schmidt and Tam. They're like kind of secretively working on it, right? Or is this that was after they subdued him?
What?
The Russian. Never mind.
Nope.
That didn't happen yet.
Nope.
So they're running the test for the final time. They do what they got to do, and voila, oh my god, it's stable. And then the whole thing just kind of, I don't want to say shuts down, but you know, there's definitely something went wrong after they thought that they had it, and they thought it was stable. It almost, I don't want to say imploded on itself, but it did fail.
Mm-hmm.
Although they thought they were successful, so you know, they're trying to figure out what's going on. You know, their systems are all wacky, everything's kind of screwed up, and they're trying to figure stuff out. And as they're running around patching holes and fixing electronics and typing stuff in, you start hearing this just,
oh my god,
the screech.
We actually are a smidge backwards right now.
Okay. I mean, it's
the condensation, that's why the subdued thing makes sense.
Right.
It was after the failure.
Right.
After the 47th time or whatever, once it worked and then failed one more time, the condensation was the answer later on when they're trying to do stuff and things.
Yep.
All right. Yep. Shit.
So that didn't happen yet either. So yeah, they tested it again. It went smoothly-ish, and they thought they had it, and then it just, you know, catastrophically failed again.
Right.
And this is when, you know, they started losing power. They started losing a lot of their electronics, their gravity systems, and you know, and their systems were all starting to fail. So they're like, okay, you go do this. Something's not right here, but we don't have time to fuck around. So let's fix all this, and then we can get back to work and figure out the rest of the stuff. We need to take care of these pressing matters. So the captain's like, okay, you do this, you do this. Ready, break. And that's when
things start getting weird.
Yeah, things start getting weird. That's when Schmidt and Zhang, Tam. That's when Schmidt and Tam, he like pulls her aside and he's like, hey, I think I figured this stuff out. And that's where the condensation thing comes in.
Yep.
So they're secretly trying to work on that while everyone else is trying to patch up the space station.
Yep.
And then that's when the Russian comes in.
Well, let's
no. Well,
let's just get to the part here. Where. So after this happens, long story short, is they did create some type of dimensional flux. So,
is that a scientific term?
Yep, it is now. So basically, the problem being is they look out the window.
Oh, that's right.
And there's no more big blue ball. So they kind of don't understand what's cracking. So they're checking the windows. They're doing this. I mean, they're literally going to the windows and looking out the windows of the space station. I mean, it's not. This isn't the Star Trek Enterprise, so they don't really have the same scanner technology available. But so basically, they all look out the window. Then they do go to the scanners and they kind of figure out, like, hey, we don't even know where we're at right now.
Or they think that. Well, some of them think that they've destroyed the Earth. Some right. of them think, like, we just are floating somewhere.
Right. Yeah. Turns out, though, basically they are in another dimension. And that doesn't even become clear to them until they come upon a new crew member named Jensen. So.
Do we want to go into how? I mean.
Not really. The how of it, I actually thought was pretty lame, to be honest.
So, right. But, you know, when you realize that that's, you know, the two things
yeah, trying to occupy the same space. Yeah, they could have stuffed her in a locker or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or.
Well, I kind of feel like we have to touch on it a little bit. So while they're running around patching up the ship, that's what it was. Because they're like, dude, there's no Earth. He's like, yeah, we'll figure that shit out later. We need to stabilize this station.
Still about to, like, blow.
So you start hearing this screeching, this screaming, whatever. And it's way louder than you think it should be once you realize what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's the crew member from this dimension, and she's stuck in the wall.
We don't know she's this dimension yet. So basically, there's just some lady stuck inside the wall with cables running through her because she was basically snatched up out of the other dimension or in the same place at the same time or however you want to explain it, basically. Yeah. And she's obviously disorientated. She recognizes some people right away. She calls Hamilton by her name immediately, which people are like,
how does she know you?
So there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, so they get her out of the wall.
And they don't trust her.
And they don't trust her. So she's in the med bay. You know, they're patching her up or whatever. And then they go about their business on the ship while she's recovering, blah, blah, blah. Part of that is probably kind of one of my biggest qualms, I guess, with the movie is as... Oh, now I got to go back and look up his stupid name. Mundy. As Mundy decides, you know, he's patching up the wall where they had to pull Jensen out of. He's, you know... There's this really neat foam that they got where they just kind of spray it out almost like a toothpaste thing, and then you electrocute it, and it's just...
Yeah, it's like it's almost... That's exactly what it is, like an electromagnetic paste that basically, once it's energized, it'll solidify and seal or bind anything. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually... Like, forget duct tape. This is it.
Yeah, it's the new
duct tape. It's actually pretty dope.
So he's patching the wall up, and then all of a sudden his arm... goes through the wall, but not like he put a hole in it, like dimensionally, it just
cracked
through the wall.
Yep.
And so he starts screaming, like, what the hell's going on? It's moving around. It's kind of weird. It's kind of neat. So the other people, you know, get alerted. They come running. They try to help pull him out. Eventually, they pull him out, and he's missing half an arm now.
7/8.
Yeah. So he's like, whoa, that was weird. And then they're like, you know what else is weird? You're missing your arm. And he's like, oh, that's weird. You know, I understand that, like, you know, they were like, you don't feel any pain? He's like, no, not at all. And then the doctor's examining him, you know, they cut away and the doctor's examining him. He was like, yeah, it's almost like he was just never born with it. And like, this dude is not freaking out in the slightest.
Yeah, I still don't know why you're so hung up on it, honestly, because I don't really think it's a big deal.
If you just lost an arm in a wall.
It was the same arm that was also stuck in that wall. In a wall for the last half hour. So I'm guessing like he had some time to adjust that a wall is swallowing my arm. That's all I'm saying. And you also just pulled a bitch out of thin air that had cables running through her internal body.
I don't know.
Like, there's obviously some paradoxical shit going on here.
Yeah, there's like, still no reason to be calm about losing an arm.
He wasn't completely calm, but obviously if you also, if my finger just disappeared, like, yeah, it would suck, but
you're going to compare losing a finger to losing an arm.
I'm just saying, you're on a space station doing stuff. Your arm was just in a wall for an extended period of time, longer than any arm should be fused into a wall. So I'm just thinking it's...
And that's also the only time that happened, so...
Yeah, it was... I thought there was... When that happened, I thought there was going to be some more hijinks.
Yeah.
And there really wasn't. So I was almost...
Well, there was the worms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess there was a couple other little things. The thing with the Russian scientist.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. Like, one of the two...
I thought there would be more, though. Some more. There wasn't enough to really note that there was a lot of crazy dimensional paradox things happening.
Yeah.
There's only a couple of things.
Yeah. So, yeah. So one by one.
And none of them were explained either, really.
No, never. It was just due to the Cloverfield paradox.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, you know, they're trying to figure out what's going on. They're trying to figure out where they are. They're trying to figure out which dimension they're in. And then once Jensen wakes up and starts talking to them, and she's like, yeah, I know all of you, but what the fuck are you doing here? You're still down on Earth because you had a family.
Right.
Because in the other dimension...
She doesn't know Tam either, by the way.
She doesn't know Tam because her and Tam hold the same position on the space station. So in one dimension, Tam went up, and the other dimension, Jensen went up. So now they're meeting, and they're like, who the fuck are you? Like, I don't know. Who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
But she was telling Hamilton, like, yeah, you've been my best friend for years, but you never came up here. You're back on Earth.
Right.
Long story short, I'm not going to say anything about all that either, but, you know, there's a reason that she came up to the space station in her universe, and there's a reason she stayed down in that one.
Right.
That's all I'm going to say on that. So they quickly start to figure out what's going on, and so now that they've got the ship stabilized, they're like, okay, now we need to figure out where Earth is, get down there, and try and figure this out with scientists down there so that we can maybe try and get home and blah, blah, blah. And that's when Schmidt is like, theoretically, based on this and that of this theory and that, calculations, if we run this thing again, it should reverse everything we did. And that's when the Russian came by and basically accused him of being a spy and secretly sending all of the good information down to Earth while sabotaging their project.
Well, it was also Jensen that brought it up as well, because in her dimension, he actually sabotaged the mission.
Yeah.
Schmidt did.
Yeah. In her dimension, he was a piece of shit. But in the regular dimension, he was actually working with the team or whatever.
Yep.
Because him and Tam, they didn't straight up say it, but you could kind of tell they had a little thing going.
Yeah, they had something going on.
So he was like, yeah, we need to do this. And that's when Keel, David Aiello. Wow, I butchered that. But he's the captain, so he's like, yeah, until we know what's going on, you are being locked up. Because I don't trust you now. And it's like, dude, you know me. We've been up here for years. Like, it's been 2 years. So they lock him up while him and Tam are trying to figure out the condensation issue so they can run it again and hopefully just reverse everything they did. And then more weird stuff happens. And then the Russian gets sick. Well, that wasn't different. Okay, yeah. So the Russian gets sick and they're trying to figure out what goes on. And that was a pretty disgusting thing that happened there. Again, won't say much about it.
Get you none?
Yeah.
So, long of the short is, they're in another dimension, they locate Earth in this dimension, they're heading that way, but in the meantime, they need to basically recreate this thing, get Jensen in the escape pod, get her back to her Earth with all the information necessary to recreate the correct working particle accelerator, yada, yada, yada. Hijinks ensue, we get some disputes among the crew on who's doing what and who's going where and who should be alive or not. And that's pretty much that.
Here's another thing that kind of, I guess, bugged me. There was a few times in the movie where they purposely shown you the machine that, you know, makes bagels in the morning or It was like a 3D printer that 3D printed whatever you wanted.
Right, yeah, food substance.
I feel like Jensen 3D printing a gun out of that.
Jensen didn't. The Russian did.
They're right, the Russian. Either way, she got her hands on it after they locked it up.
Correct.
Anywho, so the Russian 3D prints a gun. Obviously, it's not like a regular pistol. It's a futuristic gun. But I feel like that just... No. Like, I understand 3D printing has come a long way, but, like, you're always going to have to, like, print a bunch of different pieces and assemble it and make sure the mechanics work. Like, he just went into the thing, went boop, boop, beep, boop, gun. Like, that part just kind of bugged me, too.
Yeah.
Like, not only did he 3D print a gun, he 3D printed a gun that was loaded and...
No, he had separate ammo for it.
I don't remember that part.
For sure. No, that was for sure. He had the I'm going to call them bullets for lack of a better term. The bullets were somewhere else, and to be honest, I don't remember exactly where he got them, but he actually put those in secondary, for sure.
Okay. Maybe he 3D printed those afterwards. But again, now you're 3D printing, like, gunpowder.
Yeah, he didn't. Definitely didn't. Whatever projectiles he fired out of them, they could have been energy-based and just honestly needed a barrel of some sort, so it could have made the gun a lot simpler. You know,
I suppose. So realistically, I know we are talking future here.
Yeah, so realistically, if you were to create, you basically just need a barrel and some type of discharge device.
I mean, I understand we are talking about the not-so-distant future, but, I mean, Jesus Christ, you're still driving a mom mini SUV on Earth. So, I mean, it's not that far into the future. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they have plenty of cool shit that we don't see.
I know.
I'm sure our space station right now has some cool shit we've never seen.
Those damn Wakandans.
Yep. So, anywho, I think we've rambled enough.
Yeah, right. Basically, yeah, so Jensen... decides, like, yeah, you guys ain't going nowhere. I'm going to do some stuff.
She wants the ship for her universe.
Right, because her ship has been destroyed.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't even remember how it ended.
Basically.
Oh, I do remember.
Well, originally, Hamilton wanted to go and stay on that Earth so she could be there. And Jensen wasn't actually going to let her. Eventually. So Jensen turns out that she wants to keep the technology on her dimension to keep her Earth from going into peril. And that's where we're at. Everyone goes for what they need to go for. And the ship ends up where it ends up.
Yeah, I guess.
That's all I'm saying.
It's kind of hard to, because you know, you don't want to give away every little detail. So.
Well, the ending of this movie was never destined to be a fairy tale. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's going to be some hurt feelings in one dimension or another.
As far as, I guess, sci-fi space movies that have come out in the last couple of years, I liked it. It was a good movie, but I liked, say, Europa Report a lot better.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I actually really enjoyed this movie, but it's still not going to get a very high score from me because it just really wasn't actually super good, but it was by no means bad.
No, it
and
wasn't
for
bad.
A Netflix movie, again, I think they've gotten off the slapstick and gotten into some, let's say, risky business with this movie and with, risky like, Bright. Business. So I'm going to give them credit for even putting this movie out because it's not normal. But again, paired with their other new series, Altered Carbon, which is intense... and not like any other show you've ever watched in your life. This and Bright, I think they're kind of getting into that like sci-fi fantasy genre. And to be honest, while their movies probably aren't going to score very high, they're still, I mean, I'm probably going to watch this movie again and I might not rate it more than a 6.5. And I probably will put it on again because I enjoyed it. I might like it more later and maybe think it's worthy of a higher rating, but I think it's around there for me, to be honest. That's what I think. 6.5. I'd probably push a 7, but I'm going to stick with a 6.5 right now.
Yeah,
say that it was good, but I would do different. I would do some stuff different as well, but, you know, I'm not a director. If I made this movie, it might be shit.
No,
it
would be
shit.
It
might have been a 3.5.
It'd be
it. If I was in this movie, it would probably have been an 8.
Probably would be a 0.5. No, I pretty
I'd
much...
have totally freaked out when my arm got lost.
Like, exactly. Oh, it would have been a proper reaction.
Where's my arm?
Huh, that's weird.
It was pretty funny though when his arm was crawling and he was like yelling at his arm.
There was some good stuff in this movie. Yeah, I never said it was a bad movie. There was just a few things I didn't, I guess, agree with.
Right.
With the way it was done. But other than that, yeah, it was a decent movie. It was fun. And I actually am all right there at a 6.5 as well. Not terrible. It's a good movie, but, you know.
No, like I said, it's not something, I mean, and unfortunately being on Netflix, you don't have that luxury of flipping the channel to a movie that's on. So if this movie was on HBO someday and I was flipping the channel, I'd probably leave it on.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix, you have to actually physically turn a movie on, which I feel limits the shit you just stumble upon. That's why I've watched, you know, Deadpool and Guardians of the Galaxy 348 times, because I own them on digital and I just click that button instead, you know. So,
either way, you still have to click a button, so you just ruined your whole.
But you're going
to
click a button on something that you know is a guaranteed awesome, yeah, and not get stuck on something that you would watch. Now, The Mist was on the other day. I don't remember liking that movie at all. I still don't, but I watched damn near 3/4 of it. You know what I mean? Because it was on, and I'm walking back and forth. Then all of a sudden, you catch yourself sitting on the couch, like, oh, I remember this part. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
One part keeps you in for another 20 minutes. So, yeah, anywho, that's where I'm at. Good movie. I don't want Netflix to stop this sci-fi fantasy role that they're on, though, to be honest. And hopefully we're going to be doing...
I feel the same way with Prime.
Yeah, yeah. I feel Netflix and Amazon are both together, separately doing a great job, if that makes any sense.
Well, because you figure beforehand, I mean, you had the Sci-Fi Channel, and then you had, the big Star Trek show. Or that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of sci-fi on television, and they're seeing the gaping hole in that genre.
The Sci-Fi Channel's been so disappointing lately, and we're going to get to that in one of these next couple of ones we talk about. I wish you were more caught up on some Sci-Fi Channel shows, like The Magicians and stuff of that nature. Mm. Might have to do a podcast with Mia. She's watched them all.
Well, she thinks you're a nerd, and I'm a nerd for doing this, so she probably won't do it.
Yes, she will. I'll make her.
Or you'll have Tony ground her.
Something like that.
All right, then. So, Cloverfield Paradox, Netflix original, J.J. Abrams was... I don't know.
Oh, we probably could have led with that.
He probably... I was kind of perusing some of the articles. Someone mentioned here that, like, he didn't even jump on as a producer until after they started filming. Like, who knows? I'm not going to look up the facts on that one. I truly don't care.
Yeah, I don't really care either.
So, Cloverfield Paradox, 6.5, Netflix original. Check it out. Pretty decent. If you like sci-fi, you'll probably enjoy it. As always, you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Mike at Review and Roast. And you can find all of our stuff at ReviewandRoast.com or ComicRoast.com. So that's going to be it for this one, and we'll talk to you later.